The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's the wonderful world class we gotta believe to see Wednesday as we pull up our boots by the bootstraps and make the decision to finish strong no matter what fiery darts are thrown at us from the devil. And the complete show has been altered, we certainly hope, by the Holy Spirit. That's all we can say. First up, how did this day start off for Davey Wavy? That's the big question. I'm going to share how my morning started. Next, we examine what do we do when the whole day has a wrench thrown into it. We can complain. We can whine. Cheese, please. We can kvetch, a word that we learned about. Or we can turn to the Lord. And finally, what can restore our soul? What do we have access to in our hands that can help us connect to the King of Kings? That's right. It's the B-I-B-L-E.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You know you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's the phone number. And if you call that number, Terrific T will pick up the phone. She will handle the phone gently. She will not be forceful. She will not throw the phone across the room. She will talk to you and listen to what your answer is or what your prayer request is or what your praise report is, and she will listen thoroughly. And if you have some great coupons for her and I, you let her know. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. What's that? 214-210-8483. Again, praise reports, prayer requests. It doesn't matter if you have a pop question. We do have a prayer that we're going to be praying for a young lady. I'm getting some information on that even as we talk. A young little 9-month-old girl who's, it's critical. The decisions that are making today, I guess, are critical. And we're going to just briefly talk about and pray about it as an audience. But we also want to open up with a little bit of trivia to get your brains going, get your mind going, because this show is going to be so different. That's how different. First up on the trivia, the Bible suggests that 1,000 years in God's sight is as how long? In other words, what's 1,000 years to the Lord? Okay, got that? Okay, I'm going to give you a chance to go from there and kind of respond to that. You can text that in or you can call in. That's the question. Don't forget, okay, our show, open topic pretty much. Main reason is it's not a professional radio show. It's hardly a radio show, let alone a professional radio show. It's just a show. Now, when Tiara moves up in the world and she has the opportunity to be a producer for like the mega huge things, then we'll say it was a big show. That's all we'll do.
I'll hold you to that.
Okay, you got it. But until that happens, not that professional radio. Hey, it's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right. Okay, folks. All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you what happened. And we're not even going to get into this. I'm just going to tell you what happened, walk you through the day that I had, so that you can know what's going on, so you can be connected and see what's taking place and why I have made this dramatic shift or change in what I was going to teach. What I was going to teach today, now I'm not teaching until Friday. And what you're going to get today is my devotions, okay? Now, unfortunately for you, if I really broke that down, it could last like 7 hours. Not my devotions, just explaining what I think the Lord was trying to tell me. I don't know, okay? But here's what I'm trying to say. It's not an arrogance thing. This is what happened. I woke up today, and I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Let me just ask T real quickly before I get in trouble. Have you ever woken up on the wrong side of the bed?
Yeah, me this morning.
Okay. All right, so you are with me in this. We're tracking together. Our dog has had a few problems. Little Levi had to have a little thing removed right by his eyes. They had to pull it out. They had the stitches. They have to give him the little doggy downers. The first day it was funny. Then it's not funny because your dog kind of wobbles over and you don't like that and you don't feel good. And then he gets up on the bed and you can't move him because he's like 80 pounds and he purposely dead weights. So you can't move him. And then Noel can't move him and I can't move him. And then he's groggy and it's kind of, and then he gets up at 2 a.m, then 4 a.m, then 5:30 a.m. to go to the bathroom. And so you don't get a lot of sleep. So I woke up, I was on the frumpy side. I'm just telling you right now. And I was tired. And I told him, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know if it's that I'm just doing too much. You know, I'm doing a lot in the studies. I'm doing a lot with the radio. We're doing a lot in some other projects that we're trying to be supportive in. And I was just like fried. Perfect play. I was just like, So I said to the Lord, okay, so in my devotional time, and it's probably not that different than most people, but for me, the one thing that is weirder than any other time in my life is I have like 7 or 8 different devotional tags that I go to. I'll either go to Judges or Hebrews or Matthew. I'm in the Minor Prophets. I'm in Isaiah. I mean, it's just like all over the place, plus Genesis, and it's just really wild and all over the place. So I said to the Lord, I'm so tired. I'm just going to read your word. And you want to share something with me? Here I am. Let me know. And the Lord shared with me 4 things between Zephaniah and Haggai that are just so cool. I thought, maybe this is what the Lord intended. Remember how we said sometimes things happen that you think, that's just the process of life, or I'm tired, or I'm this, or I'm that. But sometimes the Lord's got something really going on that's a little different. So let me read this text to you, and hopefully it will be a blessing. One of these 4 may strike a note in your heart at some point. Here we go. Gather yourselves together, yes, this is Zephaniah 2:1. O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued, before the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that the Lord will keep you hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. So I'm reading this text. I'm deeply aware of the eschatological elements for premillennial dispensationalism. That's a really fancy word to say. It's a particular type of thinking about the end times. For premillennialism, amillennialism, postmillennialism, and there's a lot of different things going on. But I'm looking at this text, and this text is leaping out at me. And here's one of the reasons why. Because the world is a nut job right now. You don't tell me it's not a nut job. I prophesied, okay, it wasn't the Lord, but I said yesterday, before the announcement was made, right here on this show, we have the proof, we have all the audio we need in the whole world, I said that once a vice president person was chosen, that the people that are liberal and that are on the left will say greatest choice in the world, and the people that are on the right would say a worst choice ever. That's exactly what I said. By and large, from 3:30 to this moment right now, the liberal media is saying that even the conservative Republicans love this choice. And wait, and the conservative media is saying even the liberal media hate this choice. They're just exact opposites. It's like this, and you're just like going, oh my goodness, great. I'm not even watching this. This stuff just, it's almost like depressed. Bring me Green Acres. Bring me anything like that. So I'm reading this text, and you have this portion where it says, seek the Lord, okay? And when it says seek the Lord, just so you can know, this is the Hebrew word, and this is one of the good things I like about my class. It's called bakash, or it means there's different ways to seek. In this case, seek the Lord means seek the face. Now, in typical interpretation style, people that write notes on the Bible will just go, oh, seek the Lord. You seek the Lord by seeking the righteousness and seeking the humility. But that is incorrect. That's not even grammatically close. It's seek the face of God, seek him, okay? Seek his face, which has to do with intimacy and a relationship with God, which is what we're called to do. We know that's correct because the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you ever want to get that secondary understanding of his righteousness, think about the righteousness that the Lord provides. That's through Jesus Christ. But you're seeking first the kingdom of God. You're seeking first the reign of God. You're seeking the rule of God. You're seeking the face of God. You're pursuing the Lord. And then with that, there is supposed to be a pursuit of a righteousness that is that which is connected to the Lord, and of a humility of that which is connected to you, as you and I both seek something greater, and that's the Lord. And then the Lord slips in the one-liner. This is it. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. The scripture is absolutely clear. Has this got to do with eschatology? Does it have to do with the end times and the rapture and when it will or won't happen? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if anybody could say that. But here's what you can absolutely say. Some people will be judged by the Lord, and when that judgment happens, the righteous will still be amongst some of them, and they will be, by the grace of God, hidden or removed or protected. So if you want to think of it as a rapturous position, fine. That's not a problem. Here's the problem. The problem is the scripture says it may be, not it will be. And so the idea is there are things that the Lord will show you. He will reveal them to you. He will open them up to you. And pursuing his face is the way to go. And pursuing his righteousness is the way to go. And walking in that true humility is the way to go. And perhaps, by the grace of God, the whole thing will blow right over your head. You won't be a part of it, and you can just escape the whole thing. And whether it's rapturous or whether it's God sticks you in a cave, who cares? I would just like the whole thing to go right over my head. Just that was the first thing I came across when I was engaging with the Lord. It's like, you know what's really cool about this whole thing? This is what's really cool. God can protect me even if my morning starts off bad and I have kind of a couple of wrenches thrown in it. He can cover me, protect me, and keep me. That is something good. By the way, the answer, what is the 1,000 years unto the Lord as is a day? Don't forget that joke about 1,000 years in a day. Can I have $1 million, Lord? Yeah, in a day. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere. I got some surprises for you. We'll be right back.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, this is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this, "Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will surrender you." I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him, and he's asking, "Will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up?" And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city.
But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed, and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer, or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, you can reach us. You can text 214-210-8483, or you can call in 972-445-0770. Before I give the next trivia question, so I got a text back, and if I say the name wrong, I'm not worried because I know God knows what we're talking about, but there's a young girl named Chanel, the very big decision. One of our listeners is a language translator, and she's going to this meeting to find out whether they're going to pull the plug, essentially, and for this little baby girl who's got a lot of problems and the parent doesn't have insurance. So I just want to pray that the Lord would have mercy in this situation. Just join me and just say yes. We want good things to happen to people by the grace and the power of God. Father, we come before you and we ask you, because you are over all, you are authority over all, you are the king over all, and we come before you and we humble ourselves and we ask you for this little baby girl that perhaps you will spare her life and give her the opportunity to live. If you do that, Lord, we just pray that the graciousness of your touch would be a tremendous testimony for her life, and that she would bring glory to you. And if you decide just to bring this child to you, that child would enjoy your glory and your presence, of course, forever and ever. We entrust her to you, ask that everybody have the best possible wisdom, make the best possible decisions, but we certainly implore you and exceed our level of small mustard seed faith and ask you to do above and beyond all that we ask or think by bringing grace and healing to this young little girl in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. And as I get updated, I will let you know. I have no idea, so the only thing I do is share. But if you just say yes, and it's us saying yes, and we're agreeing, and then you bring it before the Lord, and perhaps the Lord, just like we talked about, perhaps the Lord will say yes, like, okay. Just like, you know, if you don't ask, you'll never find out, right? So that's a big key. Don't forget here, reaching out to us, by the way. So if any of you miss that, the answer, the Bible suggests 1,000 years in God's sight is how long? 1,000 years as is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And that's the old joke where the guy says to God, how long is 1,000 years to you? And the Lord goes, in a day. And he goes, how long is $1,000,000? Like a penny. And then he goes, God, can I have a penny? And he goes, yeah, in a day. It's funny. Come on. Yes, come on.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's an old joke. You know, old like when the Dead Sea was still sick joke. Real old. But you get the idea. All right. Let's get into the next one. This one should be a little easier in general. You guys should know this one, actually. So I do expect some answers. Text and call otherwise. Which of the 12 disciples was in charge of the money? Boy, if that doesn't tell you everything you've ever wanted to know in life. Which of the 12 disciples was in charge of the money? By the way, I can promise you it wasn't a elective decision. It was probably Jesus. Most, I don't know how you could think otherwise. It was Jesus saying, you take care of this, you're in charge of this. Okay. 214-210-8483, who was in charge of the money. You can call 972-445-0770. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Don't forget, He Must Increase Ministry, especially if you are giving or a giver or are planning on giving, give. We paid our bills last month, and so we praise the Lord. But, you know, I track it because I'm Jewish. No, because I know what our money is or isn't and what we can and can't take. I need to know how much I can have for gas. And the bottom line is we're doing good. I'd like to be doing gooderer. Is that a word? Gooderer? Okay. All right, so I'm just sharing with you what happened to me. So in me, when I spend my time in devotions, sometimes I'll be reading a text, and what I'll do is I read for a certain amount of time, and then I'll write down a note to the side, like on a notepad or something, because if there's a word that pops out there, like the word seek, you know, which is bakash in the Hebrew, and actually it's bakashu in this particular case, I'll write that word down, and then after I'm done with my reading time, I go back and I do like an actual word study. It doesn't take long. I just look up the word, go to a lexicon or, you know, an interlinear Bible and look it up and kind of look through the cores or the base. And then, but in the meantime, I keep reading. I keep going through the process. So here's one. Now, I've read the scriptures multiple times, as all of you most certainly have, even more so than probably myself, but every once in a while I come across a passage and I go, ooh, I wish somebody put that on a plaque, you know, because there's always certain verses that are on a plaque or a bumper stick or whatever. So let me read you the next thing I came across and see if the Lord has any, if it resonates with you, or the Lord kind of ministers or speaks to you in any capacity in this. This is Zephaniah, and this is chapter 3, and this is talking about the restoration for Jerusalem. It says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He's cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst, and you shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Here's the line. He will quiet you in his love. And boy, I read that, and I'm a loud, noisy person. Come on, you know that. And I read that, and I think it was a stutter step to the tough beginning of the day, thinking, you know, there's just a lot of clamoring, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of festering and kvetching, there's a lot of that stuff going on. But what there's not a lot of is letting the Lord quiet me with his love. And I was like, okie dokie. That presents an opportunity and a challenge. And here's the opportunity. It is available for me to have a quietness that comes over my system in his love. Now, I know that he can speak peace. Don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to go down that track. But when I read a text like this, I think there's something profound in the connection between the Creator and the creation and what he's trying to communicate to you and I, as radical as we may be, is that sometimes in the stillness, right, is the best place for you and I to be to find the assurance of his faithfulness. So we know the passage in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. But what I didn't often connect, or haven't connected, maybe I should say, is in the stillness of knowing that he's God, there is also a manifestation of his love that takes place when I'm shutting all of my firecracker responses down. You know what I'm saying? Like all those loud noises and kind of all the things that go pop, 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 pop. And I'm just like, almost like powering down, right? I guess that's a great way to say it. I mean, we all know that either through regular things or everything else. Almost like shutting the car off and just sitting there in the seat. You shut the car off, you sit there in the seat. There's that moment or two. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I think the Lord is trying to communicate to us, that he will quiet us, bring it all down, and it's his love that we are able to tap into or to touch base with. Now, don't get weird on me. It's not getting mystical. I think those things are just bizarre, and you know, but you can't deny that Christians have feelings. You can't deny that we have functionalities or regular human beings. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, pours the love of God into our hearts. If you're trying to figure out why you felt so loved in the very beginning, but then you don't feel it quite the same way, or you don't respond to it the same way, just read Romans 5:5, so you can find out about the love that comes through the Holy Spirit. But the idea is to us to understand that in quietness, in God, there is that presence, that understanding, and that comfort. And that quietness, instead of being something that has to be filled, like we do in the entertainment world or in radio or television or movies, for us, it's the stoppage of everything that gives you that opportunity. And isn't that contrary to most of the things, like, right? Microwave dinners, fast food, instant television. I mean, who doesn't complain now if you're sitting there watching TV and your remote stops working? We have a remote and the buttons have been pushed so many times. You push the button, they get stuck inside the actual remote itself. And so I've got to stand up and change the channel. Worst part about that is, where are the channels located on my television? Because I don't even know. That's how used to things we are, being so instant and easy. And said, but guess what? All of that is nothing compared to the technology that takes place when you disappear from every outside influence and just be quiet before the Lord. As soon as I read that, just so you can know, as soon as I read that portion, I stopped, I looked up, and I said, oh, man, I don't think I even know this. I don't even think I do this. I mean, I do it in one way, but I don't see it as your love. I just tell the Lord, I want this. I want the quietness. I want that. I want him to quiet me through his love. I want that love to pour into me, and I want to be still. And I got to tell you, the other two things I'm going to share with you, they're really cool kind of teachings, and they're from my devotions, but this was probably the turning point right here. I'm like, wait. Shut everything down and let God be God. What an interesting concept for Christians. Answer to the question, which of the 12 disciples was in charge of the money? Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray him, which should tell you something about people that always want to control money. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord. are giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me.
Doesn't he know there's a lot of cholesterol in lard? I'm losing it here. What? The lard? What is that guy? Where is he from?
The David Spoon Experience.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
If Jesus. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I hope this show is being a blessing for you. It definitely was rearranged in the process. I think it's pretty fascinating to just go through my process and hear myself talk about it, not because it's me. I just think it's interesting to examine processes like that the Lord does. And by the way, for those that are up there going, boy, that guy's super arrogant, I sure am. I pray every single day, Lord, please forgive me for being such a mushugi, okay? Because I know I am, because it's like, I don't know if it had to do with my upbringing or I don't know. As if my brother and my sister are three times the losers that I am or something like that. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Is that terrible to say on the air? Should I not have said that?
No, I don't think it's a bad thing. That's just my opinion. I could say that. I have a sister. We're both losers. We make it work.
That's the key. Making it work. Let's go through a couple of things that I do want to cover for you. So let's get to the next trivia question. This is not a hard one. It's a little harder, but not really too much harder. Keep in mind, if you want to call 972-445-0770. Yes, I said that about my brother and sister. Relax. You can text 214-210-8483. Here's the trivia question. What is the name of the disciple who took care of Jesus' mother after his death? See, that's how these people are like, what? Huh? It's like, yeah, that's pretty important. What was the name of the disciple that took care of Jesus' mother after his death? Let's go into our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. All right. So we got people already answering on the question, and that, I love that. So if you think you know, you're welcome to. You can call in. If you're wrong, we'll get you there. But, I mean, if you know it, you know, kind of nail it down. Let's just talk about a couple of quick things in regards to history. It's funny that I should bring up siblings and so on and so forth, because today is Middle Child's Day. Okay? Now, I'm not a middle. How many brothers?
It's just me and my sister, so I'm the youngest, and she's just the oldest.
So you're the baby, right? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was the baby in my family. My brother and my sister tried to suffocate me. They put a pillow over my head and tried to get rid of me.
It's okay. My sister busted my lip and was trying to kick me out. Siblings.
What's up with siblings? All right. Anyway, today is also National Julian Fries Day, which is the cooler looking fries that you get from McDonald's. Not the. But I like all French fries if they have ketchup, hot mustard, ranch dressing, because it depends on what it is. I guess it depends on where you are. Today is vinyl record day. for those that remember vinyl records. Now, this will show you how old you are. So you can remember the 33 is the bigger one. The 45 was the one that was smaller than that. Then they had the, I think the originals were 78s. But if you're like me, you kind of grew up in the vinyl, the 33, the 45. And when 8-tracks came out, it was like, wow! What technology? This is like
I was just about to say that the 8-tracks.
Yeah,
coming.
The 8-tracks, a big thing. Put it, and then you pull. It's just like the gaming back then. You'd pull out like you were playing the video games. You pull it out and you'd blow in it. That was useless. Anyway, just saying.
Really was, but we thought it worked.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was. It made you feel comfortable that you were doing something wise. Today is also Milkman Day, and we don't have that the same way we used to. But back where I grew up in Southfield, Michigan, we had a milk shoot, like where the milkman came in and put the for us when we were younger and not good, that was our escape in and out. Just so you can know, we were able to maneuver our way through. Don't ask, it's just how we did it. 1851, on this day, the sewing machine was patented by Isaac Singer. Singer sewing machines, that'll make sense. Also, talking about vinyl record day, 1877, the first voice recording, Thomas Edison recorded his reciting of Mary Had a Little Lamb. Okay. And that's because blue suede shoes hadn't been written yet. Okay. It's such a weird thing to. Let's do the first recording ever in human history. Mary Had a. You didn't even go a Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Wow. And then the last and certainly not least, and people will just. I will get emails from this. I love you. I love you in the Lord. Just remember that. The Beatles' original drummer. The original drummer, Tommy Moore. Quit the group known as the Silver Beatles before their booking interfered with his job as a forklift driver. That was taken over by Peter Best, who was later replaced by Ringo Starr. But the real dude that lost out was Tommy Moore because he wanted to be a forklift driver.
He probably didn't think the band was going to go far.
Yeah. Oops. Okay, let's go right into the text. Oh, my goodness. Could you? I mean, it's just like. You could have invested in Google when it was 50 cents. Oh, okay. This is Zephaniah. I'm going backwards, but I want you to catch this teach because it's something that I guess I saw part of it before, but not all of it. So this is the Lord, and he's talking through Zephaniah, and what he's communicating is, and what it turns out to be, is three types of people that the Lord is displeased with. Okay, so here's what he says. So bear with me till I get through all three. I will stretch out my hand against Judah, against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. The name of the idolatrous priests with their pagan priests, those who worship the hosts of heaven on their housetops. That's one. Those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but also swear by Milcom. And those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. There are three different people. So, you know, when I read this in my devotions, I'm looking at this and I think those who worship the hosts of heaven on the housetops, that's people that put, you know, lust, money, fame, power, whatever it's going to be, they're worshiping the hosts of heaven. Now, of course, in this case, it's starries, it's the stars, it's people that get into the zodiac and people that get into not just horoscopes, but you're talking that they thought that the heavenly bodies were actual entities. And in our case, as many people are, it's anything that you think that is so high above in a starry, like the stars themselves, or people that want to be stars. That would be another thing. It's just all those people that worship whatever it is, but nothing to do with the Lord. Okay? That's the first person. Nothing to do with the Lord. Look at the second person. God is also not happy with those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but also swear by Milcom, also swearing by Baal or swearing by Moloch or swearing by other gods. God is not happy with people that don't acknowledge him at all, and he's also not happy with people that partly acknowledge him. And it's like, whoa, that's the one you got to catch. So this is Zephaniah 1, 5, 6, 5 and 6. And then he says, he does a third one. And this one is the indicting one for Christians. So the first is the people that worship heaven. They worship on the housetops. They worship whatever it is, but it's not the Lord. Second, it's people that worship the Lord plus something else. Third, it's those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. So the third group of people, they don't believe in other gods. They don't believe in sharing God as God and another God, but they have not pursued the Lord. They have not sought him. They have not inquired of him, and they turned back. And he gives the finale to that one through verse 12, same past, same scripture, same chapter, Zephaniah, verse 12. It says, it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are settled in complacency. And what that means, that's the Hebrew word for when you take wine and you turn it upside down to preserve the cork and the dregs float to the top, but it's not a quality wine. It's terrible wine. It's like Mogan David. It's like, you know, it's like kind of thing, or Manischewitz. And the idea behind that is that it's useless. And if you are a Christian who is complacent, the Lord is not happy. So there's three types of people he puts together in one grouping, which is superbly fantastic. He puts in this grouping that don't worship him at all, that worship him halfway, or those that have worshiped but then stopped. And you can't be a Christian and be believing in Jesus and go, yeah, but I did that when I was 13. I don't do that now. Nah, that ain't going to work. And complacency is what he's looking for to judge. And you think, well, how active do I got to be? I think the idea behind the whole premise is for us not to turn our backs on the Lord, to keep seeking him and keep inquiring of him. How often do you inquire of him? I don't know. How many days do you breathe? That would be how many days you should probably inquire. But when you stop inquiring of the Lord and you stop pursuing the Lord and you stop and turn back from his ways, you're putting yourself in this place of complacency of which God will punish. He doesn't like it. And he equates that with the same people that don't worship him at all or that worship him halfway. And so in God's economy, you're in or you're not. It's not, you know, there's no, and you can't be in and then I'm in, but for this next decade, I'm taking a break. No. You're either in or you're not. There's three kinds of people. And the Lord, he has mercy on those that seek him, those that pursue him. He will cover and protect the rest. But he's not happy with people that are, what's the best word, lukewarm or that have mixed Christian faith with other faith, you know, the sticker coexist, Jesus would not approve. Sorry, you can't get mad at me. I didn't write what he said. It's not my fault. You're either in the kingdom through Christ or you're not. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I don't know. I can check out no man. Let me see how many that is. No man. Okay, none. Okay, got it. All right? Okay. All right, who is the disciple? That's pretty intense. All this is in my devotions. What do you say? I got one more coming. What's the name of the disciple who took care of Jesus' mother after his death? That was John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Kind of ironic because his brothers were still current there, and yet Jesus turned it over to John. One of those fascinating and amazing elements in the framework of Scripture. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here in KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to remind you, you can reach out to us, 214-210-8483, if you so desire to text a prayer request, praise report, a pop question, or even an answer to trivia, which we've got coming up right now. And then also you can call in 972-445-0770. Which Bible person? Okay. And the only reason I changed it is because actually the question is character, but I like what the caller said yesterday. So which Bible person said, what must I do to be saved? Somebody asked it just like that. Who was it? What must I do to be saved? All right. Don't forget our website, by the way, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. So don't forget, hemustincrease.org. That is our website. That's where you can do the giving. That's where you can also have prayer requests or anything like that. You know, it's all good, all along that way. Okay, hang on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Okay, you're doing good today? Things going good for you?
Yes.
Good.
Sir?
I'm glad to hear that. Okay, do you remember which person in the Bible said, what must I do to be saved? Now, that's different than what must I do to have eternal life. He said, what must I do to be saved?
Was it Nicodemus?
It was. See, that's a great guess, and that's the general guess out of the people that are texting in. But I'm looking for somebody in the book of Acts that was in charge of Paul and Silas. Do you remember?
Was it Cornelius?
No, that was the guy that received
it. It was a centurion.
It was okay, so that's close. But he was the guy that watched over people.
Oh, the prisoner, the guard.
That's correct. There you go. I was going to get you there one way or another. He was the jailer, the guard who was in charge of that whole scenario. He was the second convert, by the way, in that for the church at Philippi, Lydia, the seller of purple from Thyatira, was the first one. So the two of them were kind of like the core of the church. So you were there. And it's not that Nicodemus didn't. He was trying to understand the process. But this was a real specific, what must I do to be saved line. So that's why I went with that. But you were doing an excellent job, especially because you and many other people said Nicodemus, because that was the first thing I think that many people, you know, came across. So good job.
And the jailer was saved and his whole family.
That's right. He and it's important that he believed and his whole family believed. And it's very important that they all got saved. And they were, like I said, a core. You just never think, oh, that guy getting saved, oh, big deal. It's like they were the core of the church at Philippi. Without that, you wouldn't have a letter to the Philippians. It's like, wow.
Oh.
Think of it that way. That's pretty cool. Excellent job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Don't we have fun here? We have fun. I'm telling you. We'd have a pizza party, but I'd spend the whole time eating. So
yeah, I was about to say, the whole time eating. You get a box, I get a box.
Yeah, and we just sit there and go, somebody's calling. Somebody texted. Okay. All right.
While chewing.
I am the, you know, you're not supposed to chew with your mouth open. Boy. You guys haven't spent a lot of time with Jewish people, have you? Anyhow, I'm just saying. Talk about food shooting out all over the place. But see, in our family, it was okay because my Uncle Herbie, during Pesach dinner, used to throw olives at us and little pieces of pickle while my dad and mom were not looking. And then we retaliate, we get caught, and then, you know, he did it first. What are you talking about? Anyhow, that was how we grew up. Just went downhill from there. Here's something that came across in Haggai. Now, I can pull a lot of things out of Haggai that were really fascinating and wonderful. But something I did not catch before, which I did catch this time, and that's the only reason I'm sharing this stuff with you, is these things that I'm communicating with you, they're all things that kind of popped out while I was reading the scripture. They really kind of caught my mind. And it's not that people should read and always get a ton of stuff. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes I read and I get give very little, or if anything, and just thank the Lord that I was able to read his word. And sometimes I read and I get so much it looks like I'm doing a coloring book. And so it depends on which Bible and what's going on and where I'm at and what the Lord's trying to teach me. It's all part of the process. In this one, I thought this was rather cool because Haggai was a prophet. He was a contemporary, or he was alongside Zechariah. So if you read Haggai and you read Zechariah, they were kind of like cohorts in the faith. Haggai was a little bit older, didn't have as much to say, but did something that was quite fascinating. He speaks for the Lord. He's a prophet. He speaks on behalf of the Lord. And so he talks about people and that they were trying to accumulate wealth, and it seemed like everything they were doing to accumulate wealth kind of going in a bad direction, not working out. And even to this level where it says, and listen to what he says, thus says the Lord, consider your ways, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little, and when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because my house is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. So this is not something you can use as a curse against people in the New Testament, because Jesus is the end of the curse of the law through Christ. And so you can't say, oh, well, everybody who doesn't give is going to be cursed. But you can say, God says, consider your way. If you are just completely neglectful towards the ministries and the works of God and the house of God, specifically the house of God, the Lord's like, you bring it home, I'm going to blow it away. You're going to be putting money in a bag that has a hole in it. It's like, wait, what? Because the Lord's going, you're kind of ignoring me. You're kind of like not paying attention. That's not the key thing I want you to key in on. I want you to key in on this. When Haggai speaks, he said, I blew it away. Now, you don't have to be an English major to know I blew it away is past tense. I blew it away. Blew it away. Okay, that was in the past. In the next portion when he talks, he speaks again for the Lord, and he says, I am with you. So the past shows God going, you know, I'm not real happy with this behavior, and, you know, it's not going to work out for you. But then in the present, he's like, look, I'm with you. It's not, even if the Lord has not allowed something to prosper in your past, has not blessed it, has not poured himself into it, has made it seem tougher or tighter, whatever the case may be, he still makes the proclamation, look, I'm with you. Even if you what you've had in the past hasn't worked out, I'm still with you. And then he says this, and this is what I love. He says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord. The glory of the latter temple should be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace. So there's three tenses by the prophet Haggai, which is, you think, oh, big deal. But it's like, it is a big deal. Because in the past, things might have been one way and it might have been more difficult. But the Lord's telling his people, yeah, but I am currently with you. And then he says, and I am going to give to you. And that's the future. And so look, whatever you've done in the past and whatever I've done in the past and whatever frumpy, grumpy, stupid, dumb, ignorant, childlike attitude I had. And the Lord might have been, yeah, you want to cut that out there, little whining child there? And it's like, I'm sorry, Lord. And then he's like, yeah, I'm with you. And you know what? I will give you this. I will bless you with peace. I will bless you with grace. I will shake the heavens. I will pour things out upon you. The glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former. That's the great code for understanding that what God is going to do is so much better than what's been done. We can look forward to it. And the Lord speaks to us prophetically in the past, in the present, and in the future. And if you can catch that, especially because God, again, not bound by time, speaks to our past and some of our struggles, to our present and his commitment, and to our future, which is our hope. All of that because he spoke and said, I blew it away, I am with you, and I will give you. Do you think those are three simple phrases? There are three simple phrases that can change the way you approach the rest of the day. That's what they are. And they're all from the prophet of God. And they're all prophetic in the utterance, since Haggai declares himself as a prophet and God backs him up. And it's just like, wow. So what was, maybe it didn't work, and maybe it was hard, or maybe it was there's difficult time, or maybe it was heavy duty water and it was really tough to get through. Got it. Here's what the Lord is saying right now. I'm with you, okay? I'm with you, and I'm going to bring you peace. And there is a comfort that God grants us when he's telling us past, present, and future, I gotcha. It's like, how cool is that? Like, good. I need somebody to have me. I need the work. All right, folks. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.